and post that on our website or something like that. So, yeah, just a little thing at the end said, welcome home. So we hope, again, it says welcome right now, that you are welcome here. We're glad that everybody's here today. It's a beautiful day, beautiful weekend. And before you know it, it will be August. I can't believe it. July is just going by fast. But for this morning, just before we open in prayer, the quiet times, if you ordered one of the teens or the teens and adults, the interactive or the other version, those are on the back table. They're labeled by family. And I believe the ones for the younger kids are coming in soon. They'll be here next Sunday, so the first chunk. So if you're a big kid and you ordered one of those, you can grab that on the way out, okay? That's really all the announcements. The rest are listed there for you. Just please remember also just with supporting our church, if you're a member here, that the offering is in the back, so that can be made out and left at the back of church. So again, it's good to be together today. Glad you're all here. And let's open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's good to be here in sometimes what we call your house here in the church, this building that you've blessed our fellowship to have and to maintain. And we're so thankful that we can gather together in your name today and that we can learn from your word, that we can give praises to you, that we can bring our cares and our concerns to you as well and know that you provide for our every need. And Lord, there's so many things at times that we want, but just help us to reevaluate and say, what do I really need for today? And to take a moment to look around and say, I have everything I need today. And that you are our sustainer, that you fill us, and that you give us that sense of purpose in this life and help us to discover what that is and what you have gifted us to do as individuals and how we can impact our world, our little world around us, for you with your love. So give us those opportunities. Help us not to miss them, but just help us to stumble right over them and just to pay attention. So we love you. We thank you for this day, for this time, and just what you will do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we're going to start our service with a hymn, one of my favorite ones. And if you've been here at First Baptist Elba for a long time, there's only one way to sing this hymn other than standing. Who remembers how Pastor Bloom used to sing this one? We used to laugh privately at him because he would always have this slur on the notes. Remember, Meg? He'd go, who can do, 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 who can do. He always sang it that way, and I'll never, ever get that out of my head. So let's stand and sing. We won't mock Pastor Bloom today, but a great hymn. He's the one, 568. Ready? Let's sing it out together. Who can move the mountains that are hindering you today? Who can pick them up like pebbles, clear them from the way? Who can prove his power when a Christian kneels to pray? It is Jesus, he's the one. Jesus holds all power in his mighty hands divine. He's the one who healed the sick, turned water into wine. He makes all things possible, and he's a friend of mine. Blessed Jesus, he's the one. Who can heal the heartache that is crushing you within? Who can pour the balm of heaven where the hurt has been? Who can chase the shadows, make the song of joy begin? It is Jesus, he's the one. Jesus holds all power in his mighty hands divine. He's the one who healed the sick, turned water into wine. He makes all things possible, and he's a friend of mine. Blessed Jesus, he's the one. Who can keep you from all harm and guide you by his hand? Who can give you power for service and the strength to stand? Who can give you grace for all that living may demand? It is Jesus, he's the one. Jesus holds all power in his mighty hands divine. He's the one who healed the sick, turned water into wine. He makes all things possible, and he's a friend of mine. Blessed Jesus, he's the one. And also, as Pastor Michael comes, I forgot, I was looking over here. We need to wish a very, very happy birthday. Ah, that's right, Esther, I'm talking about you. She went like this. 94 years young coming up, right? 94 in 2 days, on Tuesday the 28th. So make sure when you have your mask back on, you can come up and wish her a happy birthday. That's fantastic. I just thank you for who you've been in my life. I've been here a long time. And just when I was a little kid came, a little troublemaker, and then who you've been to all of us, my own kids, all these families. So thank you just for your consistency in who you are, your faithfulness, just your example for everybody that knows you. So we love you. So happy birthday in 2 days there.
Amen. Wow. Well, thank you, Andy. And what a great birthday to celebrate. 94 years, all the things that you've seen, gotten to do, and still doing for the Lord. It's an awesome testimony. Well, today, in the quiet time, I want to just remind us, new quiet times are in, and so they look like this. They'll be the opposite color of the one that you had before. So if you had the commentary, it was the green color. So now it's just switching, green to orange. If yours is already in, because we've only gotten half of those in, they'll be on table. So make sure you grab those. But I think it's been a good year us going through this together. It's always a nice reminder as we're going through the same things. And today we're in Psalm 51. Now, this is a response to, if you guys read this morning, David's sin with Bathsheba. And he says a few things I want us to remember. At the end of this passage, Psalm 51, verse 17, it says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise." And he said in verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me." And there's so many things going on, it seems like, with kind of constantly hearing about, still in the news, things like the virus that are still around, and we don't have a vaccine, so that's reality. We're aware of that, and we're praying for people, especially in the South, as it seems like we kind of got the brunt of that at the beginning, and now it's down there. I think we deal with a lot of maybe negativity or depression or anxiety, things like that, that have gone on during this time, and maybe we still are, and we know the rest of the world is dealing with that. But God tells us through David that we can have a clean heart and renew a right spirit within ourselves. And so I don't know what you're going through today, but just a reminder, that's always available to us. So if we have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and this is a promise that he gives us. So let's think about that as we go into prayer. And I want us to be thinking about the Schrager family this week after getting the test results for Julian's scan of his lungs. They do have some larger AVMs, is what they're called, in his lungs. And so that just means they're going to have to go in and figure out how to take care of those, whether that's removing or sometimes they put in a stent, so kind of like what they do in a heart procedure, but a little less invasive. So we need to be praying for Julian, a young guy, and to go through that's difficult. So we want to be thinking about them. I don't have an exact date yet, but I will let you guys know if we find out this week when that's going to be. So let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll continue with our worship.
Well, as we stand and sing, the two songs this morning both have the word grace in the title. And Megan chose those songs, and she promises it's not because we're talking about children in today's sermon, about having grace. She promises it wasn't on purpose, no. But the first one is by the grace of God, and then we're going to sing Grace, Grace Flows Down. So if you'd stand and sing with us this morning.
sweet the sound, amazing love. Covers me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing love, now flowing down from hands and feet that were nailed to the tree. His grace flows down and covers me. Covers me, and covers me, it covers me, and covers me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing love, now flowing down from hands and feet that were nailed to the tree. Your grace flows down and covers me. It covers.
Lord, just as we close our just time of praise, our time of singing praises, just thank you that your grace covers me. And we repeated that in that song quite a few times, and it does every moment of every day. And we just thank you for that. We don't certainly don't deserve it by any means of our own merit, but you saw fit just, Jesus, to give your life just as that payment for our sin and to give us that gift of salvation and that grace that is ours, nothing that we did, but everything that you did and all that you did for us. We're so thankful. Just thank you for this time. Thank you for what we will learn now from your word and what you have for us today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We may be seated. Today we'll be in Psalm 127, so another psalm. Psalm 127, we'll be talking about loving Christ and children. And we've been in this series for the last 5 weeks now, entitled Who We Are. And it's really just a series on our identity as a church. So as we learn and as we grow together, we are searching through God's Word on how to address just different topics, different areas of our lives. So we've looked at the family. We've looked at marriage. We've looked at how do we love Christ personally, some of the most basic things, and how do we love Christ corporately? How do we come together and do that rightly? And today, we're talking about children. Now, if you don't have any children at home, that's okay. If you've never had any children before, that's also okay. The cool thing about being a part of a family of faith, and I was just thinking about that as we were celebrating, remembering Esther's birthday this week, and all the lives that she has been able to be a part of over the years and investing in. Maybe it's that you've had children out of the house for a while, and sometimes you long for that, to be able to care for a child. And it's a sweet thing to do, as you know, if you've had children before, but also the opportunities that God gives us as being a part of the family of faith to do that. And so we'll be in Psalm 127, and I just want us to remember this phrase when we get into it. Children obey, parents aim. Parents like the sound of that, right? Children obey. If that would always be the case, then that would be wonderful, right? And now, children, for you too, I want you to remember this. Parents aim. So there's a responsibility on both sides. So as a child and as a parent. So for parents, we know that God wants us to have the right trajectory for our kids. God wants us to lead them rightly. Now, nobody does this perfectly. Everybody falls short of whatever that perfect or ideal standard would be. And for kids, we know they don't always obey, right? And that's part of being reminded. And even as a young child, we're reminded that sin is a part of all of our lives intrinsically. And so as we bring those two things together, those two relationships, much like we've done with the corporate worship setting, much like we've done with marriage, we know that this side of eternity, things don't look perfect. But yet, there's a standard that we can look to and say, God, how can you help us get as close as possible to that? Okay? And that's what I want to look at today. And so as I was going through this passage, I've looked at it many times before, and I've spoke on it before. And I thought of Alana this last year, and she's been a joy to raise, and now Hannah, our second child. And when 3 years old came, it was a little bit of a shock. And so we came in a counter with some things that maybe we didn't know were going to happen yet. That was our first child, and she started showing us some things that were interesting. And one of those things was just independence, right? You know, that happens at some point, and Alana is a wonderful helper, and so she wanted to start helping with some of the things for herself. So she learned how to open the fridge, and one of the things I remember over this last year, because she's about to be 4 years old, she went to the fridge, she opened the fridge, and she pulled her own milk out. So, you know, kids drink the whole milk when they're younger, and so she pulled out the gallon jug, which was almost full at 3 years old, and she took it out, and she put both arms around it, and she started to carry it. I said, Alana, do you need any help? And she said, no, I've got it. And so she walks across the kitchen over to the counter, which is normally where we pour it, and she knows she has to get it up on the counter at this point, which I'm not sure she can. And so I say again, Alana, do you need help? No, I can do it. As she's lifting it into the air, and I helped her a little bit. I helped her a little bit, but she did get it most of the way. And it was just a reminder to me as I think about just some of those funny kind of things. As our children grow, right? They long for independence. They long to be somebody who can, at some point, take care of themselves. Somebody who can hopefully follow God on their own the rest of their lives. And as they grow and they're in our house, and even as grandparents, I know sometimes we think about that. Grandparents get to hang out with the kids too and take care of them, so that's a joy. But we're kind of giving them these constant reminders of, you're not there yet, but you will be soon. And it won't be long, but let me help you a little bit, okay? And so if we can come to this, I think with kids on one side, just with an open mind, that parents don't want to destroy all your fun, okay? So that's one side of it. They love you, and they want you to grow in godliness. And so parents on the other side of it, kids don't just want to constantly disobey. Now, there's that side of themselves, but there's also part of it that does want to honor their parents. And that's what we both struggle with, the flesh, and how to do that rightly. And so go ahead and turn to Psalm 127. And as you're turning there, I just want to remind us what this psalm is about. Now, we know that Solomon wrote this, and I can't help but think that as he was sitting around his dad, King David, as maybe he told the war stories of the past. Now, we know that David was a warrior king. He was a man who was after God's own heart also, but he had, I'm sure, many great war stories that he would tell the kids, maybe without mom knowing, I'm not sure, but they would, I'm sure, sit around, and as Solomon would listen to these stories, I can't help but think that he took some of the things that King David, his dad, told him, and he incorporated into what it would be like to raise a child in a godly way, and it's much like someone who's a skilled warrior. Isn't that cool, parents? You're a skilled warrior. Kids, your parents are skilled warriors, right? That makes them sound cooler than they are, I know. But they are, I promise you, and that's what God's Word says about them. Now, Solomon, as he's writing this, I think about the stories that he was told as a kid. So again, the stories that David told, and one of my favorites, and it's one that's overlooked a lot, is when David was a shepherd boy, and before he goes and he fights Goliath, he actually fights various wild animals to keep them away from the sheep. And so when a sheep would get taken, David would go after one, and in one instance, there's a sheep in the mouth of a lion. Now, most of us would say, you know what? You can have the sheep, all right? Because that's a lion, and I'm not going to fight you. But what David does is he snatches the sheep from the lion's mouth, And the lion comes after David. Now, this is a short text, and you'll find it in 1 Samuel 17. And when the lion comes after David, the text says he grabs the lion by the hair, and he strikes it one time, and he kills it. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a man that I would think he knows some things about being a warrior, right? Now, I don't know if you've ever taken a cat by the tail or by the hair, but they don't like that, and things can go bad for you. But a lion, I think about that, and just maybe if you could put yourself in that situation, thinking about the stories that Solomon was told, and now he gives us Psalm 127, 1 through 5. And here's the first part of this, and this is the caution. So this is the caution for us, and it's mainly for the parents, but let's read it. In verse 1, it says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain." Now, God gives us it's a special caution here, and I believe it's primarily to parents in helping us understand that there's a very, very special task that God has given us, right? It's not just about that we would produce people who would come after us that would take care of us when we get older, right? That's not really what it's about, that we would build a house that's centered on God. And this word here, in vain, which is mentioned several times, it says the second part of verse 1, "Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." And this word here in the Hebrew is a shav, and it appears three times in these two verses, 57 times in the Old Testament. And we've seen it a lot in Ecclesiastes if you've been reading through the quiet time this week. It means emptiness, falsehood, nothingness, worthlessness. It's even been associated with lying or like the dew of the grass, right? It doesn't last long. It's in vain, or it's done with really no purpose. And so if somebody were to ask you that question, do you want your house to have been built in vain? Most of us would say, well, no, of course not. I want a long enduring house, a house that would have people, young people, my kids that would come after me, and they would have children and they would have children. But more than just people dwelling on the earth, God wants to remind us through Solomon that it's about more than that. It's about growing a people, growing young people in our family, our children, that would follow after God. Now, one of the ways we do that is we live a life centered around God, the life that's not in vain. And so Zechariah 10:2 has this word. Zechariah 10:2 says, "The idol speaks deceitfully. Diviners see visions that lie. They tell dreams that are false. They give comfort in vain. Therefore, the people wander like sheep oppressed for lack of a shepherd." They give comfort in vain. So everything that's false, everything that's in the world, I think as we read through Ecclesiastes, you probably got a good sense that there's a lot of things in the world. In fact, everything that doesn't have an end goal centered on God, you will find at some point meaningless. And that's what Solomon discovered, and that's why he wrote a whole book about it. And then in verse 2 it says, "And it is in vain that you rise up early and go to late rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep." So maybe you're the kind of person that you would think, well, yeah, I'm going to build my house. I'm going to build it up well. It's going to be established. It's going to be nice. People will think of me well. And then he says here, "It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep." So God gives to us rest. And in Ecclesiastes, like we read this week, Solomon points to this idea that you're even going to work really, really hard. And if you have a long life, you can accumulate some things. You can build some monuments to yourself. But at the end of that, what happens if you have an heir who is a fool? Someone who doesn't follow after God. Maybe somebody who's even unwise with the worldly possessions that are left, because you don't take those with you. And Solomon tells us that at that point, your entire life's work, monetarily, physically, property, whatever it might be, will have been for nothing, unless it's centered on God. And he reminds us of this, and we read this last week, because as you start Ecclesiastes, I think the normal thing to do is to think, oh, wow, this is kind of depressing. But Solomon brought a perspective at the end of his life, and he does here in Psalm 127, where he helps us understand that it's about the perspective. It's about not just seeing things at the beginning, right? Not just kids. As you think right now, you're like, eventually I will have children, I will get married, and these things will happen. Parents, you're thinking now, like, I have children right now, eventually they will move out. Somebody said amen, right? And they go off to college, and then they have their own families, and then you just get to enjoy the grandkids, right? That's a good season, or so I've been told. And so as we think about these things, Solomon's going to remind us at the end of Ecclesiastes, he says, "The end of the matter, all has been heard, for God, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. So there's a purpose. And what is the purpose of our life supposed to be about? Well, there's a very, very serious caution that Solomon gives us throughout Ecclesiastes that he gives us here in Psalm 127. He says, don't do the work in vain. Don't do the work. Don't build your house and have it all be about you and whatever you can gain for yourself. Have it be centered on who God is. Here's the second thing, the continuation. Solomon says something we think maybe is obvious, but I think there's a few other things in it. He says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Now, most of us would say, especially because our kids are in here, right? Are children a blessing from the Lord? Yes, of course they are, right? But I think there's always times when maybe you've been to the ER one too many times in, you know, a week or two, right? And you're going like, wow, I mean, when is this going to stop? Or maybe when your teenager, I'm not saying that your teenagers have done this, but maybe when your teenager walks out of the room and says, you can't tell me what to do, right? Well, that happens, right? As young people think that they know everything, right? Well, there's, I think, two pieces of this, right? Children are a heritage from the Lord, a fruit of the womb, a reward. And that's true, and they're given to us. But yet, I think we need to have the perspective, both parents and children, as we read this, that there is this continuation. Kids, you have this very, very special task of carrying on your family line, of not just carrying on your genes, which you will do, but carrying on your faith lineage, right? Because there will be a time when your parents, they get older, and then you have kids, and your little kids are there with them and their grandparents, and there'll be a time that they're not here anymore. And the question is, what things will you remember the most? What things will you take with you? Well, my hope is that as we look at this, we think, yes, a heritage, a reward, and many of us are blessed with that, but yet God wants to continually remind us that there's this greater purpose, right? It's not just building a bigger barn, making a bigger family, having bigger get-togethers, but it's about God's glory. And here's the third thing. It's the calling, the calling. It's in verses 4 and 5. And it says in verse 4, like arrows in the hand of a warrior are children of one's youth. So what is God doing in our lives? How is he teaching us to raise our children? And it kind of takes an interesting turn, right? Solomon gives us this caution. He says, you need to be really careful about how you build this house because at the end of your life, you're not going to be able to change any of those things, right? Once the builder lays the foundation, he comes back and he looks at it afterwards. Short of tearing it down and rebuilding it, there's no way to fix the foundation, right? So be careful how you build the foundation. And remember, there's this continuation that's going to happen. You're going to be given children, hopefully. And the question is, how are you going to raise them? How are you going to lead them? How are you going to push them in the right direction? And so, kids, as much as sometimes you think parents just don't know what they're talking about, right? None of you would say that now, but I know you've thought it, right? And for parents that think this is, man, sometimes this is just so difficult, right? The difficulty that is present in any of our lives, especially for kids, as they struggle to obey. But I want to remind us there's a greater purpose here. And this is the calling that God's placed on our lives. Kids to obey and parents to really aim and to say, how can I set up the best trajectory for my kids? Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. And I know as Solomon was talking with his dad, as his dad shared those stories and said, here is what you need to do. Here is what being a parent's all about. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Now, one of my favorite subjects in school was show and tell. Okay? So I'm going to pull something out. Bow and arrow. I'm telling you in advance, so don't freak out. Okay? I already cleared this with the deacons, so, you know, don't worry. And I hit it so the guys weren't, you know, going after it. Some of you have seen this before, right? It's a compound bow, right? I'm not pointing at anybody, so everybody knows what we're doing here. This is a compound bow. So now, in the ancient times, this would not be what it looked like, right? But this was a weapon that was highly valued, that not very many people were skilled in. And God is reminding us, he's comparing this to parents. So parents, what are you going to do? Now, many of us, I think, they like to think about this type of instrument and the bow. And I remember when I first got this, I thought, wow, these are really nice looking arrows, right? You can tell, though, they're dirty. They've been used. I don't hunt, but I like to learn new things. So this is one of the things that I did. And I thought I could just leave it. I could just look at it. It would be really nice. But God wants us to do something else with it, right? He wants us to actually prepare those kids, right? Now, I thought about asking one of the kids. In fact, I guess I'll ask this question. So if I told you that I had shot this bow maybe 4 or 5 times since I've owned it, which hasn't been that long, 5 or 6 years, and I said, hey Eli, you know, would you like to come up here? I've got this apple, and I was wondering if you would, he's looking at me like, okay, dude, like, you went too far, all right? You went too far already. So if you would take this apple, and if you would just set it on your head, is this what they did in ancient times, just to make sure that somebody was really skilled in their art? So if you just take this apple, set it on your head, and your dad, he's going to blindfold me, okay? So he's going to blindfold me, and we're going to see how skilled I am with this. Now, Eli, you can't answer, you don't have to. But if I told you that, if I asked you to do that, what would you say? Oh, okay, there we go. So Eli has been raised wisely, rightly, right? So he had a wise answer to that. So he said, hey, if you've only shot that thing 4 or 5 times and you asked me to come up here and put that apple on my head and somebody blindfolded you, no, I'm not going to come up there. Are you crazy, right? Well, I wonder how we view parenting. Do we view it in this way of just sort of, it's this haphazard thing. I mean, I know what God said through Solomon in Psalm 127, and really children are like arrows. And in the hand of a skilled warrior, he didn't say in the hand of somebody who's like, well, I guess I care a little bit. Or, I mean, if the enemy comes, I may want to know how to shoot in the general direction, right? But the scripture compares our children to a weapon that is put in the hand of somebody who, if they're serious about the things of God, can do a lot of damage to the enemy, right? Can do a lot of damage for God. And so I think as we close this out, just a reminder for us, because I think about even Alana. She's about to be 4 years old. And like, what are the things that I'm doing right now? Am I practicing the skills of being a good parent? Now, we've all been through that time of when the kids, they have pushed the last nerve, right? And you're thinking, oh boy, you know, if you do anything else, all right, things are going to go really bad. And we all have those moments, but how are we practicing right now to keep these things in the right perspective? So how do we lead our children? How do we take care of them? Kids, how do you keep in perspective that God's given us this commandment? I mean, within the Ten Commandments, that you would obey your parents. And by the way, it's one of the only ones with a promise that says, hey, if you want to live a long life, which is basically just saying, if you want to be wise and your parents are wise, then you should listen to them and you should follow what they say, right? And so Solomon reminds us through his experience and through his family, through what he's heard from his father David, that children are like arrows in the hand of a skilled warrior. So how do we use those? Now, Eli certainly wouldn't trust somebody who didn't really care to practice, somebody who didn't really care to be serious about that art, right? And just like us, I think we have to remember that. We have to go, are we really being serious about the things of God in our family? Are we really making an attempt to raise our kids in the right way so that when it's the time to release, we can say, we've done a good job, right? Well, let's close it out with verse 5. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Now, some people have taken this verse and said, well, a quiver is 5. So if you don't have 5 children, then, you know, well, you're not following God's will. Well, and I've heard that too, and quite honestly, that's not the case. Because even if you look at the ancient interpretation of the quiver, they held different amounts. And depending on what culture you were in, some held 3. Some held 10. Some held even more than that, okay? And so I want to just remind us, blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. So if God blesses you and gives you that ability, maybe if you haven't had any kids, that's okay. And God's allowed you to be a part of a family of faith and teach kids and be a part of kids' life in this setting. maybe you've had kids of your own and they've left, and you've been a part of the things that church has done in the past, like VBS and Sunday school and Bible studies, stuff like that, and you've been able to invest. Sometimes, like what the church does, they come alongside families and parents and say, how can we help? How can a Sunday school teacher, a Bible study teacher, how can a mentor or a friend come alongside you and say, hey, let's just make a little adjustment with that bow, and then, man, let's just kind of watch and see what God does with that kid's life. And it's exciting, right, that you get to be a part of those things. Now, I promise you, kids, there'll be a time when you, because I know many of you think right now, like, man, if my parents would just get off my case or stop grounding me, then I know I would make all the right decisions. And I cannot believe they didn't let me go to that party. It was going to be so cool. They're going to be, like, really awesome people there. But then maybe you didn't think about the other things that would go on there. And a parent has to say, here's why. And maybe you don't understand it now, but there will be a time when you look back and you go, wow, I was going to make a lot of bad decisions if somebody let me. And parents who came alongside you, who loved you, said, here's the right way to go. And they did that. Hopefully that's sooner rather than later. But I want to remind us, especially for parents, there won't always be the time to make an adjustment, right? Now, I don't know where you're at in that phase of life. Maybe you got little kids. Maybe you got kids in elementary school, junior high, high school, and you realize time's running out to adjust or to make a difference or to set the right trajectory for them. And just like that skilled warrior, you have to say, what does God want me to do right now so that I set that correct path? Proverbs 27:1 tells us this, do not boast about for tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. And I know many times we think, we've got just a little bit more time. We've got just a little bit more time. And then it slips away. We don't know what tomorrow brings. The things that have gone on recently have told us that for sure, right, in the world. And so I want to challenge us. What can we do right now? And it's not about forcing our kids to do things they don't want to do, but it's about gently walking alongside and saying, here's how God wants me to live. Let me show you sacrificially in the way that I live my life. And I promise you the best that I could possibly do, I'm going to do that. I'm going to make mistakes, but I'm going to do that the best that I can. For mom and dad, for kids, as you do your best to submit, as you do your best to say, I will obey the best that I can. I'm going to make mistakes, and I'll need forgiveness there too. Then man, I think we've got a good trajectory for where God wants us to go. And so I want to close things out with a video. It's a little bit longer, so bear with me. But I think it kind of sheds some light on that whole picture. So go ahead and take a look, and we'll close out. Thank you. So loving Christ and children. That's a tough video to watch, isn't it? I think the first three or four times I watched it, I didn't have a dry eye. But there's a reason for that. It's because it reminds us of the big picture, right? It reminds us that there's a start, there's a middle, there's an end. And for all of us, and especially parents, there's a time that we have to make a difference, right? You saw at the end of that video, what did the kid do for his kid? Exactly what his dad did for him. And so, I don't know, maybe for you, you think right now there's some things you need to change, and that's a good thing. Maybe now you think, well, the time has passed and gone, and the kids have moved out, and I wonder if I really made that difference. Well, there's always time to go back. There's always time to ask for forgiveness and to set a right trajectory. So, if you're here today, and maybe you've seen this and you thought, you know, wow, I would love to have something like that. I would love to have a family like that. I would love to be able to be involved in what that is. And the scripture tells us that if you want to have a relationship with God, it starts like this, admitting that you're a sinner. That's what we talked about this morning. Parents make mistakes. Kids make mistakes. We work at it together, right? Second thing you need to do is believe that Jesus is God's Son, that He died on the cross for our sins, and He was raised from the dead on that third day, so that if we would confess with our mouths that He is Lord, then He will be the King of our lives, and He'll give us eternal life. And so we keep all these things in perspective, and remember, I don't think you're going to regret the time that you didn't spend in the office or the time, you know, not working on that extra amount of work for a promotion, but you will think about the times that maybe, like in the video, you missed out on, and the time that you could have taken to invest. And so I want to just remind us, take the time now to have fun, but to talk about the things of God and be invested, because your kids will see that, and you will put that arrow to the bow, and you'll set the trajectory, and what they do with their lives, well, it'll reflect on the way you lived your life too. And I want to remind us, maybe if some of us are here and we're thinking, well, not, maybe some of my kids are far away from the Lord and some aren't. So I want to just give us hope that everybody makes their own choices. You can also live a life that's centered on God, and your kids may not be centered on God. But how do we give them the best chance? Well, we be serious about the trade, right? We pick up the bow and we practice. We become skilled in the things that God wants us to, His word and prayer and direction. And hopefully, with God's grace, He gives us the ability to do that and see kids that leave and love Jesus and have more kids that do the same thing. So let me pray for us and we'll close. Father, we come to you this morning, God, humbly, as parents. We feel like there are so many times that we fall short. God, so many areas that we just feel like we can't conquer. Maybe it's for the mom who tries to balance the task of the daily life while I'm trying to invest spiritually in the kids. Maybe it's the dad who has a busy work schedule, who gets home late and finds that there's very little time left in the day. I pray with the time that we do have, God, that we would invest it in our kids. For those who don't have kids, maybe, God, that would be an opportunity here at the church to invest in the kids that are here. God, maybe for those who are here that have had kids that have moved away and started their own families, and right now there's a longing to do that. God, I think in our family of faith, you've given us those opportunities to invest, and maybe a relationship needs to be mended from the past. I pray that maybe before the sun goes down today that you would lay those things on our hearts, and if there's a parent that needs to go to a kid, maybe a kid needs to go to a parent and just say, maybe I didn't do things in the best way. I pray you'd help us. Help us to have that right perspective now. But we don't know what tomorrow brings, but God, we do know what we can do today. I pray you would prove us as faithful warriors, as parents, to teach our kids the things that they need to know to love you later in life, and so that we might see those kids follow you too. And it's your name we pray. Amen. Love you, church family. Have a good Sunday, a great week, and make sure you grab your quiet times on the way out.